Hello, All-Star listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable presented by All-Star Veterinary Clinic, the podcast where we answer your veterinary-related questions while having some fun along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to leave us a review on your podcast provider of choice, and if you have any feedback to offer to improve the Veterinary Roundtable, let us know. We cannot stress enough how much we appreciate the reviews. They really help boost us in whatever
the algorithm
things that are out there right now.
TikTok.
Yeah. So please. How many reviews are we up to? Oh, that's more than last time. I asked you, how many reviews do we have on? Oh, we need more on Apple Podcasts. So hammer home the idea that we need reviews. Okay. If you're just joining us and you fast forwarded past the first 30 seconds, we need reviews on your podcast provider of choice. Okay.
It's a good tactic.
And before we get too far along the way, Dr. Duckwall is back.
And
oh, wait. What is this?
Oh no.
I was thinking about that.
There we go. It's a good thing Faust isn't here.
I was seriously thinking about that.
The microphone.
Oh my God. You have something stuck in your hair.
Wow.
She has missed five episodes. The last one being our interview with Dr. Martin.
That's five is a lot. I didn't think I was going to miss that many.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Did you miss me?
You did.
I miss being in this little cozy seat.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So.
That's so exciting.
We had to hide that back there. It's really. Ooh, look, we need to knock the light out.
Okay. Hopefully the listeners
didn't see that coming at all.
You did it.
No. I thought about it last night. I was like, dang it, I should whip it out.
Okay, let's just.
Don't say that again.
Whip it out, Devin. Devin, can you please whip it out? Okay. All right.
Anyway.
Okay, good.
Moving forward.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you okay, Harris?
Oh, it's me.
Excuse me.
On today's episode, we have myself, co-host Baby Mama, associate veterinarian Dr. Ashlyn Duckwall, room assistant Devin Fortune, veterinary technician Courtney Vaughn, and my co-host, the most rootinest of them all, Dr. Emily King.
Good job.
Woo! We're back.
Then we're back.
My half is now whole.
Oh yeah, you're so nice.
Okay.
Well, how is it being back?
It's
your first
good.
Week back.
It's my second day.
Yeah.
Nobody's counting.
She's killing it. Killing it.
I have not shed a tear today. So
did you? Yes. Did you on Monday?
Oh yeah. I was sad.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
At first.
I bet.
Then you realize. It's not as hard being here as it is at home.
I did enjoy the baby stage. I really enjoyed snuggling on the couch and just squeezing her and whatever.
It is fun for sure.
But she's doing well. That's all I can ask for. So
that's awesome.
Good. Yep.
Yay.
Charles is trying to take care of her at this moment. Yeah. Right.
He says it's going okay. So I get pictures about every couple hours, make sure she's still doing okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's good for him too, though.
Yeah.
So
it's healthy, right?
Yeah. It's growing
to have some adult interaction.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And he gets to do something that he may not have ever been able to do.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
She definitely prefers mom right now, but I'm
you
a means to
keep
an
telling
end.
Yourself that. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, it'll change. I'm very well aware. Someday she will hate me.
Oh, no. That was not going to happen.
Give it 10 years.
gosh.
Yeah.
All right. How's everybody else doing?
Good.
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 Happy the
so
gang's
far.
Back together.
Yeah.
Happy the gang is back.
Duckwall Dynasty.
Boop. Oh, yeah.
We're here.
Yeah. Wait, what's that show called?
Duck Dynasty.
Yes. I was like, that sounds really familiar.
Devin with the one-liners today.
You're on the right track. You're doing great.
I can see it now. That's going to be a clip on TikTok. I'm just going to whip it out. And that's all it's going to be like. That's going to what's going to be on.
Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So, ready on for dog breed?
This is a new thing I heard. So,
yes.
What is it? Harrison doesn't have much faith in me.
Okay. Are you guys ready for the first one? I'm smart, confident, and versatile. I'm a world-class worker who forges an unbreakable bond with his human partner. I'm squarely built, proud, alert herder, standing 22 to 26 inches. Strong and well-muscled, but more elegant than bulky. There's an honest, no-frills look about me. This is hard. As befit dogs built to work hard for their feed. Coat colors range from a rich fawn to mahogany. The black ears and mask accentuate bright, questioning eyes, the color of dark chocolate. If you've ever seen me perform an obedience routine, you know firsthand what a smart and eager breed I am.
How tall is it?
22 to 26 inches.
That's really
problems
descriptive.
Set in, though, when I'm underemployed and neglected. Exercise and plenty of it, preferably side by side with their adored owner, is the key to my happiness. What breed am I?
You said fawn. It was square.
Is it a corgi?
Well, that would be like 22 to 26 inches. So
tall.
Yeah, the shoulder, probably.
But
so.
You said...
So that wouldn't be that tall.
You said it's right, a herder. Corgis wouldn't be that tall. Square something or
square. Let's see here.
Black ears and black muzzle.
Thanks, Harrison.
I
am squarely built.
That's what threw me off.
But it's a herder.
It is a herder. Yes.
In the herding breed.
Mm-hmm.
Or category.
Alert herders.
Wow, this is
there
way
were just
harder than
so many
breakers.
Adjectives that I kind of lost track.
I know. My brain is.
You would think something. Of them as a dog you would tell no one to get.
German Shepherd. Just kidding. That
getting
was
close.
Me. GSP? Malinois.
Yep.
That's yep. why I thought Shepherd, and then you said the square, whatever you said. That,
squarely
like,
built.
Shepherds are lanky, not. I don't see them as square. Oh.
Oh, my
interesting.
Bad.
Interesting. Oh. I win.
Courtney wins.
I don't think of them as blonde. I mean, I guess.
So you want all of them to guess. Okay, we're going to go. And you're going to guess.
Do it again. Make another one. Or off the top of your head.
That's interesting.
Huh?
Malinois are in the herding category. They're not in
where
the
is this information
category?
Coming from? I think herding okay. and working is kind of the same, right?
No, like literally at dog shows, there's.
AK, oh, this is true. AKC information. It's legit.
I just need think to see her in the herding category.
I yeah. don't know. I think like
or
cop
group or whatever.
Oh my gosh. All right, on to the next one.
Mm. Okay. Oh, we're doing another one?
Yep.
There are three. Oh.
I will do this correctly.
Okay.
I'm small but sturdy and a resilient personality dog. Since what the freaking hell are these words?
Read slower.
Can you start over?
Since antiquity.
What?
Huh?
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Since antiquity, I've relied on charm, meaning forever ago. I've relied on charm, beauty, and intelligence to weather history's ups and downs. My good size will stand a shade under a foot tall at
Ooh.
The shoulder.
Ooh.
My breed's glory is a white hypoallergenic coat,
oh, no, I don't.
Plush and velvety to the touch, featuring rounded head hair that sets off the large dark eyes and black leathers of the nose and lips.
I know it.
I am adaptable. I'm an adaptable companion who gets on well with other dogs and children. Alert and curious, I make a nice little watchdog, but I'm a lover, not a fighter, and operate under the assumption that there are no strangers, just friends I haven't met yet. My confidence and size make me an ideal city dog. I train nicely and enjoy performing for loved ones. What breed am I?
You said it's white? Eskimo?
Nope.
Samoyed? You said it's white?
Yes.
I thought Cavalier at first, but Cavaliers aren't white.
I know.
Okay, so your guess is?
Cavaliers, but they're not white.
Your guess is?
Well, I said Eskimo, but wrong. I was wrong. So Samoyed?
I'm going to go with Maltese.
Oh, nope, but that would have been close.
Westie.
Oh, Bichon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Wow.
It sounded like a Cavalier all up until the white part.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Last one. I'm an intimidating yet discerning guardian of my home and family who learned their trade while protecting remote South African homesteads from ferocious predators. I'm dominant and confident, also bright and eager to learn. There's a no-frills, no-nonsense quality to my sleek coat. I might stand as high as 27 inches at the shoulder and weigh as much as you do. A broad and blocky head, powerful jaws, and thick muscle from neck to rump mark me as a descendant of the ancient Molosser dog family. In motion, I just might be the most agile of all mastiff types. I'm devoted to protecting the people and places I love. Training and socialization should begin early, before I become a dominant adult. This is not a breed to get. I'm sorry, I just added that. Okay. I am a trainable, versatile breed, eager to spend time with my adored humans. What breed am I?
Cane Corso.
That's my guess.
What's your guess?
Corso. I'm going Cane Corso.
Barbell.
What?
Huh?
B-O-E-R-B-O-E-L.
I've never heard of that dog.
Borbell?
Wait,
yeah, that's a good way of saying it. Borbell.
Can you spell it one more time for me?
Oh, my word.
B-O-E-R. B-O-E-L.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that.
I legitimately have a headache after those three things.
It is like a mess.
That was a lot of words.
That was a lot. Are they all that long?
Yeah.
Did you write those yourself?
Well, that was the last one.
It looks like a mastiff. It doesn't look any different than a mastiff, but sentence is a South African breed.
Let me see. Oh, yeah. It does look just like a mastiff.
It's a mastiff.
Oh. Interesting.
I would definitely agree with training and socialization should begin early.
Same because with King Corsos. That's why I was going to say any of the mastiffs.
When you don't.
King Corsos, yeah.
They're no Bruno, that's for sure. Let's not talk about Bruno.
That was a good one.
That's a song.
That was a good one, King-a-ling-ding-ding.
Okay, thanks. He's one of our favorite dogs. Harrison Bruno is one of our favorite
R.I.P.
dogs. R.I.P.
Who's Bruno? I missed it.
Yeah. Bruno's the mastiff that was owned by Beth Woods.
Isn't it osteosarc?
He's amazing. He had osteosarcoma of his leg. Absolutely amazing dog.
If you saw him, you would know him.
You probably
would
know.
Yeah, you missed it.
He's a super lovey-dovey.
He was one of the best dogs in the whole world.
Oh, he was young.
He was 6.
Yeah. Good looking boy.
Yeah. Very good looking.
Super sweet. Exactly. Sweetest dog you've ever met. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks ago. A week and a half ago.
Okay.
Stupid.
Wow, on that note.
All right. Let's go into case collections.
Okay. That sounds nice.
Who'd like to start?
Okay, you start.
Okay. We got Gus. He's a 7-month-old pug. And just saw him for the first time in a while. And he came in for just something on his eyes, is what the owner said. So, you know, pugs, they got the big bulgy eyes. And, you know, you kind of have ideas of what it could be. And my first thought was, okay, corneal ulcer, let's check it, make sure. But the appearance was weird because on the surface of his eye, it was this like cloudy spot on both eyes, and then it kind of transcended into this like brown discoloration towards the middle of his eye. And it was just bizarre that it was both eyes too. He's so young, but you do worry about like a systemic disease potentially going on with that. So anyway, did some tests. It was not an ulcer. His tear production was normal, and it actually looked a lot like what we call pigmentary keratitis. So essentially it's brown discoloration secondary to chronic irritation. So basically scarring of the cornea. And so I actually reached out to the ophthalmologist because he's just so young. It was just bizarre. And he said that it's a pug thing, unfortunately. And the irritation in dogs in general can range from like an eyelash that's growing the wrong direction, or in his case it could be the big fold of skin on his face that rubs against like his big eyes if he's rubbing his face or something. So we started treatment, and because he's so young, the ophthalmologist said he will want to see him at some point, so we're going to recheck him in 2 weeks, see if he's gotten better. Unfortunately, you can't cure it, you just manage it.
What did you end up treating him with?
I did Optimmune, so an immunosuppressive, basically helps with tears and stuff too of the eyes. And then I did an antibiotic ointment for a short period. We'll see how he does in 2 weeks.
There we have it.
It was weird looking. That's for sure.
Was the owner excited about putting meds in his eyes?
Well, the thing is too, she had an older pug and she had like keratitis so bad that she was blind.
Oh.
So I was like, really need to try not to let it get there.
It can cause, but yeah.
Well, their eyes are like, hello.
And then their skin to fold. Like,
yeah.
It is. It really is.
Sounds awful.
Cute breed. Lots of problems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He'll be okay.
I see why people get them as puppies.
They're so cute. That's what I said. I'll have one as like until it's a year old and then somebody else can have it.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll give it to a good home.
There you go.
I just want it for the puppies. It's cute.
Okay. I'm going to recommend a different breed.
Okay. Devin, you want to go?
Sure. We had a 6-year-old cat come in, I don't like 2 weeks ago, maybe, for eating a sewing needle. The daughter was
Good one. I remember this one.
The daughter was sewing, and then they couldn't find the needle. And then like a couple of days later, they realized that this cat had been the one vomiting because her housemate has a history of vomiting, but they realized it was this one. So they brought her elsewhere, got x-rays, and then we just did an enterotomy, and the sewing needle had punctured her duodenum, but I'm pretty sure it was a pretty uncomplicated surgery, like easy recovery. And she's all better now.
Sweet.
Yeah.
The needle just, didn't go anywhere else?
It just like went down and then punctured her.
Oh.
Yeah, I duodenum. Think it was poking out through the duodenum.
Oh, yeah, that's not ideal.
She ended up, and so it was creating inflammation around the puncture site out of the duodenum, but there was no leakage really of substantial anyway, or visible leakage into the abdomen.
That's good.
But she did freshen the margins around that because she thought that it was, there was a little bit too much inflammation that she was, because originally we were thinking, well, you might be able to just run it through the intestinal wall.
Yeah.
It's no worse than a needle.
Yeah.
It's a needle.
Yeah.
And then it would just, you know, it would close itself. Yeah. But she was worried about the reaction. It must have been sitting there like halfway in, halfway out probably. Yeah.
And I always wonder how dogs and cats just eat foreign material like that. But I guess it was attached to a string with thread on it. And she started eating the thread. And then the needle just went right down.
Can you imagine? Then she's like.
I know. It had to hurt so bad.
I don't get how it gets that far down.
I don't understand.
Shouldn't it just come?
I know.
It's like
she's lucky.
What was her name?
Yeah.
The Sheltie. The Sheltie. The needle on her neck.
Yep.
Because it traveled.
Yep. But I think a lot of them, they do. It actually goes down direct. Like if, like we had a dog one time. This could be my case. But it ate a popsicle stick. So I saw it eat the popsicle stick. Mm-hmm. This is in my neighborhood. And so the person let the person lick their, whatever. I think it was an ice cream, you know, but basically like popsicle stick. And I was like, duh. And then the dog, it just ate. The popsicle stick just went down. And then, so we made it vomit, like, I know, controversial. And because it literally just went down like that, and then it came right back up the same direction. Whether it got all the way to the stomach before it came back. Maybe it was just sitting in the esophagus. But But they, it's fascinating that they're willing to eat that stuff that could
hurt. Animals are so smart, but they're so stupid.
Oh my gosh, it has to hurt.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine.
We had a dog a few weeks ago eat like a, probably like a 6 foot long rope. And she vomited up half of it, and then we had to
and an Amazon package and some tape.
Yeah, it was a lot of foreign material, like cardboard, plastic.
It was, like rope. I induced vomiting on her. I've never seen that much come out of a dog. And then we took the exact same amount out of her intestines and stomach.
She's like the
it literally was like never
MacGyver
like
of dogs. Oh, we got some tape. We have some rope.
Literally, she
we
had some... everything you could think of.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, and crazy.
Okay. Very interesting. Yeah.
Okay, I'll go.
Phyllis ate a crumble cookie.
Oh.
It was supposed to be my cookie and I walked away.
Oh, yeah. You can't do that.
Miles are mad about that? Slipper.
Yes.
What kind of cookie?
It was frozen ice cream flavor.
Oh, yeah. The fried ice cream.
Fried ice cream.
I was going to say frozen ice cream. Isn't that all
ice
cream?
How does that work? I was like, frozen ice cream.
It's like, I still have that like kind of wash over my brain. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Words are hard. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We had a one-year-old German Shepherd come in because the owner noticed that there was something that looked like dental floss hanging out of the anus, and the owner tried to pull it and couldn't get it because the dog did not enjoy that. So we took x-rays, and it showed that there was foreign material all the way through the intestines, maybe they saw. And so we took him to surgery, and we found where the string was. So we had to make 3 separate incisions. So 2 into the intestines, 1 into the stomach. And then we figured out that the string was also wrapped around his mouth. So the string went from his front end all the way to his back end. But we got, and there was intussusception. How do you say it? I don't know how to say it.
Intussusception.
Say
it fast, really fast.
Yeah, intussusception. But we were able to fix that without resecting anything. So he had made a full recovery, and he's doing fantastic.
What is intussusception?
Where the intestines kind of like bunch up and get all twisted. And
like a telescope.
Yeah.
One piece of intestine, it goes into the other piece of intestine. It's like a sock.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody got a sock? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, like a tube sock. And then
it didn't cause any damage. Sometimes it does, but in this case, it did not.
And it was, I think that the intussusception happened so, like they caught it super early because what will happen is you'll get scar, like inflammation. And so then it's really hard to reduce it. You can't just like pull it back out again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that dog was really lucky.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So.
Naughty.
Naughty dogs. Bad.
I'm like, that's a lot of tooth floss. He was a big dog.
Well, and I think it was.
It was string.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they thought it was dental floss, but it was some kind of string.
Was it truly all connected?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was no break. There
first
was no
time
breaking point.
Ever that it's been in a dog like that, that's been connected and coming out the back end.
See, like, how did he eat that? Like, I don't understand.
That had to
you
be
know?
Feet. Right? Like how
And
long?
He was a big shepherd.
Yeah, he was
like,
a big
he was
shepherd.
Huge.
Yeah.
Like easily 100 pounds or more. He was a big dude.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Lots of foreign bodies.
Very interesting case. Very good. Hmm. Okay.
Your turn.
We will move on. I use the popsicle stick as mine.
Okay. Okay.
Or were you just
I'll save mine for next time.
Okay.
Because mine's a long one. So
this is a long question. So bear with me as I read it out aloud. Hello, I just wanted to send a question concern for the Veterinary Roundtable podcast. I'm not a client, but I definitely hope you can take my question. I have a 4-year-old miniature Australian Shepherd who has seizures. She started seizing at 1-year-old. At the time, she had never had any preventative stuff other than shots. No flea or tick or worm meds, none. First, she started out having 4 to 6 seizures within a week every 3 months on a schedule. She has been on all different doses of phenylkeppra, potassium bromide, and extended-release keppra. Now my girl started having seizures every month, having 14 to 16 seizures within 4 to 5 days. She had one seizure on December 25th and had 2 the night morning of January 4th and 5th, and she's now starting her cycle of several seizures again, just like she had. But this is the closest she's ever had her clusters. My girl also has skin allergies. She got spayed at 3 years and 9 months old, thinking it would be hormonal, and everything has been downhill since, which was the time everything switched to 14 plus seizures and seizing every month. My last resort has been to put her on a raw diet due to the vet neuro thinking it could be a trigger, even though they say it's idiopathic, and now I'm concerned it's a brain tumor. I can't afford $2,500 for an MRI just due to the ridiculous amount of money I've had to spend on her in the last 3.5 years of her life, especially this last year. These last seizures she's had within the last 3 months, I definitely thought she's going to die. Tongue turned blue, belly and gums turned white. Without seeing her, do you guys have any recommendations on what to do? I just feel like her quality of life has really gone downhill within the last couple of months. Thank you in advance, even if you don't see my message. Angelina Ostermeyer.
Tricky case.
That's a lot of seizures.
Yeah.
That's a lot of seizures.
That's not good on the brain.
Well, idiopathic epilepsy, in the younger the dog, or at least I was always taught that the younger the dog, the harder it is to control the patient.
And it's the most common thing too. Mm-hmm. It's like number one until proven otherwise.
So it's I mean, you can't say without the imaging, like you mentioned, but I would be really, 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 really surprised if there was a brain tumor.
Yeah, I would be too.
So, I mean, like if you're hedging bets and you have to guess because, you know, you're financially constrained, then okay, so we're going to say the dog has idiopathic epilepsy. So then what other things can she potentially do?
Woof. Can raw diets actually play a role in that?
There's some studies that show food allergies. So I don't know if that's how they're approaching it. So like a dog with a food allergy potentially.
Having food allergies cause seizures?
Possibly. I don't know. It's not. So like you'll see sometimes people will recommend being on like a certain diet or, you know.
But not necessarily raw.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking maybe that's where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. That's why they recommended the raw diet. I don't know.
Well, then it's like you still have. Like, if you're thinking about other causes, inflammatory,
that's what I was going to say. Infectious, I mean, but you would need like a CSF tap.
Right, exactly. You still need more diagnostics.
She hasn't been on prevention, but if you have like a tick-borne illness, wouldn't it? It wouldn't last that long untreated, right?
Well, she should see other things.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Well, usually, I mean, unless it's really, really weird.
Yeah.
But blood work, like what's her blood work look like? I would assume it's fine. I mean, if she got spayed, hopefully she's had blood work at least, you know.
Well, and I would say that if we're operating with a diagnosis, an accurate diagnosis of idiopathic epilepsy, then at least it sounds like anyway from her question is what other things, do we have any recommendations for her? The only thing, there's a couple things that come to my mind, but I mean like, so what about using, I don't see in here where she's had any like clorazepate or clorazepam.
Right.
Like using that. Like, so like the first time you see a breakthrough seizure, then you load that patient with something like clorazepate or clorazepam and use it for 48 to 72 hours to see, because it seems like, at least based on what she's describing, that then those clusters happen pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So like she has one and then she, you know, in 12, you know, she has another one, she has another one, she has another one. Well, could you potentially add in clorazepate or something along those lines and use it for 3 days to get over the hump, and then you back down your clorazepate. All the other meds stay the same. But at this age dog, you will need polypharmacy. So you're going to need multiple drugs. There's no way you're going to get away with.
Especially if they're just not controlled at all, it sounds like.
It sounds like she went several months without having a seizure, like from January until now, whenever she asked this question.
She has been on all different doses. So my question, my other question is,
are they together or separate? Right.
Are they together or separate? So that would be the other thing. So nisamide would be another one that mm-hmm. could be tried. It's, we don't have as much luck with it as Keppra, but Keppra has such wide dosing ranges that you could.
It's really sick. Like you can go really high.
Mm-hmm.
What about like acupuncture or something for something like this?
I mean, may work. Hurt? I mean, it's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Oh, gosh.
But I think you need. So, like, if she's not on all the meds, then she needs to be on probably multiple meds at the same time.
Yep.
Then midazolam.
Has
intranasal or whatever.
Yeah, probably you could do that during the cluster time too. I mean, when they start and you just.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the last thing would be to your acupuncture thing would be like CBD.
Yeah. I mean, if you're really throwing stuff out.
I mean, like if you're just trying to.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's important to remember every time there's one seizure, it decreases the threshold. So then you're probably going
to
have
some
more easily. And this many, gosh.
That's a lot of
seizures. Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing is this was around Christmas. So we do know stress will exacerbate or lower the seizure threshold. So maybe preemptively you put this dog on that additional medication, whether it be the midazolam or the clarazepate or something.
Yeah.
To add like something to protect against that lowering of the seizure threshold like stressful events.
I think it's fair to consider quality of life.
Absolutely.
Like, that's the other thing I think she needs to know. It's like, that's a lot. That's a lot of seizures.
And it would be okay if you felt like you needed to consider euthanasia.
Yes. There Especially would be, with how her tongue was turning blue. You know, you don't want them to pass in such a
traumatic way. Well, and I think that's hard on the people.
Yeah.
Too, you know, as well.
I think it was Dr. Cross, right, that he said there is literally support groups for, he has that offers to patients because when you have a dog with a seizure at home or has seizures and you don't have it yourself, it's hard to relate to them and it's very emotionally debilitating or I guess not debilitating, but it can really influence and harm owners too.
Yeah. It is a horrible thing to watch.
Yeah.
It is horrible.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that if, nobody knows the dog better than her. Mm-hmm. So if she feels like the quality of life of the pet is affected, then considering euthanasia would be appropriate and reasonable.
Mm-hmm. And to remember, this is not like your typical idiopathic. Right. Like this is not.
Yeah.
Normal.
Very hard.
Bummer.
Well, hopefully that helps. I'd be
curious to see what is going on with her now. Because I think this question was a little old, is what Harrison said. So,
oh, well, that would be really interesting to see then.
Mm-hmm.
Did she try anything different over the past several months?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Angelina, if you're out there,
let us know. Let us know.
We do really like the updates. Like, if we say something or offer some piece of information to see if anybody does anything or uses any piece of information and then what was the effect. I mean, I think it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
So fill us in.
Yeah.
Keep us in the loop.
That one update on Ember May that she doesn't know about. Remember last week? Or the last episode?
Oh, the Addisonian. It was
Does she remember?
Bernie Doodle that was diagnosed with Addison's disease. And I think you read it, though, didn't you?
You texted it to us, right?
Yeah. So that was any time like that. I think that's so cool to
Basically,
hear.
We made a difference.
Yeah.
Yay. Good job.
Yes.
Changed the world.
One case at a time.
One podcast at a time.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. It's good to be back.
Yay.
Feels like I never left.
I know. Does kind of feel like you never left.
It's weird that way.
I know.
It's like riding a bike.
I feel like we're in a lull right now, the time of day.
It is. It's hard. This time of day is hard.
You look good at the sleepy over there.
All right, cool. We'll wrap it up there. Go ahead, duck call. Take us out.
Okay. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable. Remember, send in those questions and be sure to follow us on all social media platforms at All Star Veterinary Clinic. If you enjoyed this episode or a previous episode, leave us a review on your podcast provider of choice. We'll see you in a few weeks for the next episode of the Veterinary Roundtable.
Woohoo!
Whoop, whoop.